Our scripture passages, which we have several, are on the back cover of your bulletins. They are there because I know that some of you like to keep them for reference and sometimes hang them up, keep them close, keep the message going for yourself this week. We're going to be incorporating them into our message a little bit later on, because I would just want to begin with you. As I said earlier, just being together is an incredible feeling, and it's not just for me. I know that you are feeling all of that yourselves, that it's different. It's different being apart and being together. And we feel that. But we have been apart for a little while, and so I'm thinking, since we have been, why don't we start out with a little game of synchronizing our minds, okay? And pulling us all together. You who are at home, you can play too. But I will say that it's going to need a little preparation or a little work on your part. You might want to grab a pencil so you can write some things down in your bulletin, unless you have a very sharp mind, which I'm sure all of you do, and maybe you can just remember some of these things. But it will take a little thinking and remembering on your part. So let's begin by just opening our minds, and we'll see if we can unify our minds, okay? So here we go. First step is, very easy, think of a number between 1 and 10. And it could even be 1 or it could be 10. But think of that number. Okay. You have that number. Now take that number, multiply it by 9. Okay. Remember your times tables? All right, got that? Think of a number, then multiply it by 9. Now what you have is you have a sum. Take that sum, and if you have two numbers, you add those two numbers together, okay? If it only comes out to be one number, that's okay. Just leave it as it is. Add those two digits together. Now, you take that, this is the last part of the math, subtract 5 from that number, and that will give you your final number. Okay. All right, so now that you have your final number, find the letter in the alphabet that would correspond to that final number that is in your head or on paper. If your final number is 1, the letter would be A. If your final number is 2, the letter would be B, 3, C, and so on. So now you have a letter that corresponds with your number. Take the letter that you have and think of a European country, any country in Europe that starts with that letter. Okay? I'm thinking of a country. Clear your minds and see if we end up, a couple of us, with the same thing. European country that starts with that letter. Now, with your country, think of the last letter of the country. This is the brain work. Last letter of that country. And now think of an animal that begins with that last letter. This is the last thing. Brain work. Think of that animal. What's the last letter in the animal? And now think of a color that begins with that last letter. So, you got it? Let's see how, if our minds are synchronized. We've been apart from each other for a while, but I'm wondering if maybe just one person here got my wavelength, maybe just one person here, is anybody else by any chance thinking of an orange kangaroo in Denmark? Mind blown! That's amazing! That's incredible. Or, if not that, maybe a koala? Okay, and some with a koala. That's incredible. We are in sync. We are together, folks. That's a fun game. And you know, just being together, like Julie was saying, it's great to just be together, have a barbecue together, maybe just play a game together. And then, of course, things more serious. So thanks for playing with me. It's different being together, reunited. And it feels so good. Yeah. Do you know that being together and just connecting as we are, it's not just emotionally good or nice for the moment, but I bet you can feel the shift. Just coming here, being here, versus being alone. Being with each other actually has a physical healing and soothing and strengthening effect on you as a human being. It makes you healthier. It makes you live longer. Did you know that? There's been a number of studies about this. So many, but there's one in particular. It's a very famous Harvard 80-year study that took place, and this is one of the things that they discovered, that it's been shown through research that if you're part of a caring and supportive community, you actually live longer, are healthier, and are happier than those who don't. The study also showed the opposite, which is also true, that loneliness is actually bad for your health. Loneliness has been shown to increase your vascular resistance and elevate your blood pressure. You're actually more likely to die early from loneliness than from obesity or excessive alcohol consumption, according to the study. So physical health. And then there's another level to this, physical, emotional, soul, and spiritual health, which is that it's not just the simple act of being together with bodies in close proximity that makes the difference, but it's how we're together. It's what draws us together. It's why we're together. For what purpose and for what benefit? And with that, our community creates an even more potent and powerful and helpful force. Because when you think about it, it's not just being together, right? There are a lot of people, there's lots of people who are in close proximity of each other. New York City, Hong Kong, China. Being in line at the Department of Motor Vehicles. A lot of people. But you don't get the same vibe and same benefit as what happens here. And that vibration, that energy, healthy or ill, depending on what group you might be with, it carries an energy in each one of those places. Before I went into ministry, I used to help prisoners who were in the maximum security prison in Hartford. And I would go in there and I would go out of there. And I would work with them. And let me tell you something, if you were blindfolded and if you were wearing noise-canceling headphones and you couldn't see or hear anything, even getting close, believe me, You can feel that energy. It is thick. It is palpable. And it has an impact. So depending on the groups in which you place yourselves, you can dramatically shift intentionally your energy, your health, your well-being. And I think about the energy that we have been with the last few years. It's been a tough few years. Some of us have gotten pretty beat up. Others less, still others have gotten more beat up. I think about our veterans, our healthcare workers, the continuing disruption to our economy and jobs and families and friendships and education and socialization, the politics, the fear, the polarization, the frustration, people quitting jobs, throwing in the towel, leaving the fields of medicine and teaching because it's just gotten too tough, and struggles with mental health. And then just now, currently revisiting the deep, deep pain of 9/11, the heartache that we still feel and live 20 years later. That's all the junk in the world. So following this line, you know, it's no surprise that the world in general, world out there, does not necessarily provide its own healthy, healing, nurturing energy. I'm not talking about what's in nature all by itself. I'm talking about what we as human beings do with that and do to each other. There can be a lot of different kinds of energies out there versus what we experience when we walk through these doors. And when we're with each other. Person to person. Looking at our first two scripture passages, Jesus lays it out. Even back then, in the simple times, but in times where we might think it's recent to our history, people were brutal to each other. People were unjust. There was a lot of suffering. And you know what? In the world, there's never been a time when there hasn't been a lot of suffering. The world, in general, is not a very kind and fair place all the time, to say the least. So Jesus says, and he draws this distinction, he says, in me, in the energy that I provide, in this template, in me there's peace. He lays it out. He says, in this world you'll have trouble. It's nothing new. But he says, but take heart. I've overcome the world. So even back then, there was this distinction, there was a recognition that there could be a choice into which venue and energy you place yourself, that we do multiple times a day. And depending on what you choose, you get a different result. So the next passage says, and this is from the Old Testament, talk about going back. Prophet Joshua says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my family, we'll follow the Lord. We'll immerse ourselves, he's saying. I and I'm going to take my family along with me, we're going to immerse ourselves in a healthy, loving, encouraging energy and get that result. So what do I mean by the difference? So last Tuesday we had our staff meeting, and I was sharing with our staff as we were kind of beginning this new year, I said, look, this is what I'm going to be talking about on Sunday. And this has hit me because it just clearly speaks to who we are and what we're doing. What are we doing here, really? What should every bit of our energy be focused on in this church? And so I was talking about this, and I reminding myself included to be clear what we're truly about, to help us with our spiritual compass. Now, the staff meeting started at 10:30. And I was talking about the differences between what we offer in the world, but not of it, here in this church, and just in the world, what we get hit with daily. And that was at 10:30. 10:37 a.m., and I remember the time exactly, because what happened was there were two headlines that flashed on my phone. And I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what I'm talking about. So I took a screenshot of that, 10:37. So it's just kind of random, but it just illustrates what we get barraged with all the time and the difference between here and the world. And so there are just two headlines, and I don't know, maybe they contain a total of 20 words, something like that. And we get hit with these things so many times during the day. We think that we are becoming numb to them, but it has an impact, all these messages. And we're going to compare them with our scripture passages. So I'm just going to share some of these words that were in these two headlines that popped up. Three sentences. Compared with, in me you have peace, in the world you have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world. And when you hear these words, both sets, both from headlines and from the scripture, just notice in yourself how you feel, how you resonate with these things. Do you want to lean in? What do you want to lean into? What makes you feel open? What makes you feel good? What makes you feel like that? What do you want for yourself, for your children, for grandchildren, for nieces, nephews, for anyone who you love? And then compare that with scripture. So the headlines, the first of which was titled, just popped up, An Emotional Hellscape. You know what it was talking about? It was talking about returning to school. What it's like for teachers and students. An emotional hellscape. And the words in this and the next were nightmare, nerve-wracking, jam-packed with deadlines, and bruising fights, emotional fights. So that's door number one. Door number two, our scripture is what is provided for us, nourishment, and what we provide for the love, with love for our neighbors and for the world. Door number two. I will lift you up. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. I will give you rest for your soul. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be not afraid. Be not discouraged. You are the light of the world. And by you, that means everyone. It's not partisan. Doesn't choose you are the light of the world. Love one another. Encourage one another and build each other up. That's our energy. And that's not just good or nice or good to visit every once in a while. It's literally life-saving. Our experience in this life is heavily influenced by what doors we choose to open and in which spaces we choose to visit and reside and nourish and nurture and bring those we love into. Choose whom you will serve. And if you don't intentionally choose one door or the other and you just kind of let it happen, by default, door number one is chosen for you, which is the case with so much of our culture these days. You don't get Tiffany at the carnival. You open a certain door. Parents who feed their kids a steady diet of high pressure and competition without the benefit of sanctuary and spiritual nourishment. And they love the parents, but they're starving their children. And wonder, you know, kids are overstressed and need sanctuary, but don't even know where to get it so often because they haven't had the experience. Door number one or door number two? Once upon a time, there was a man who lived in a very tough world. Pretty brutal, competitive. A lot of hard choices. This person realized that, you know what? There's an ideal, there's a vision that it doesn't have to be that way. Yes, that's the way it is with the world, but there can be another choice. There could be another choice, another way, another venue, another energy that he could live with. A loving energy, a kind energy in the midst of this world. And that he could also be with others who also got it and wanted to live with that kind of energy and nourishment and support and encouragement. And these people could be together. And then being together, they could not scurry away and separate themselves from the world and not just go along with the world. But they could take that energy and they could use it to help transform the world. And that person, of course, was Jesus. And that Eden that he envisioned was what he created, which is the church. That's us. And the great news is it's not just life-saving for us, but here's the last point. It's a beautiful energy and gift and care and support and encouragement that we share with our hurting world, and that is what we call our mission, our ministry. Because it's how we're together. It's why we're together. It's what draws us together. It's who draws us together. And for what purpose and for what benefit. You know, it's been said that the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. That is the feeding that we do. So beautiful to those who are hungry. That's the education and the support that we offer through Horizons and Adam J. Lewis, and to those who are underserved and struggling. It's the clothing that we so lovingly provide, literally by the ton, by those in need. hats, mittens, gloves, clothing given by the carousel thrift shop. So I thank God that our sole purpose, S-O-L-E, and that our sole purpose, S-O-U-L, every ounce of effort that we expend is solely dedicated to this kind of spirit purpose and energy. I will lift you up. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. I will give you rest for your soul. I will never leave you, says God, or forsake you. You are the light of the world. The light that we shine. Love one another. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Can you imagine any other organization, if you stepped into it and they said, that's what we're about? You go, you got to be kidding. People will go flocking to that. That's us. That's who we are, and that's what we do. Southport Congregational Church, where we are all welcome. Southport Congregational Church, doing good in a hurting world. It's who we are. It's what we do. And thank God, it's going to be a great year. Amen.
God of welcomes, we thank you today for setting a table for us, for preparing a banquet since the beginning of time. Lord, it was you who knew us in our mother's wombs. It was you who welcomed us into life. It was you who called us by name. And it is you who has loved us, adored us, walked with us as we have taken each step right up to this very moment where we find ourselves welcomed back by a community which gathers because you have called us to. And what a commonplace miracle, Lord, is a hymn, is a hamburger or hot dog, is a handshake from a friend you haven't seen in too long. And we praise you, Lord, for these blessings which you have laid before us. We pray, Lord, for the vision to see these miraculous moments for what they are, holy. May the little and everyday feed our souls the rich spiritual food they need to feel revived, restored, and replenished for the calendar year ahead, for the joys and work that we are called to do as your followers, God. And God, as we look at our list of tasks, at our calendars, may we be reminded that it is you, Lord, who has set the table. As we busy ourselves with planning, with budgeting time and energy, pickups and drop-offs, appointments and portions, Lord, may you remind us that there is something that cannot be accounted for, and that is your spirit. So may you pour it upon us generously, in this year, Lord, and in this moment. And may its power and peace continue to surprise us, even when unscheduled, even when it catches us unawares in the commonplace miracle. We have learned the hard way just how miraculous it is of gathering, of loving, of sharing sunshine and heartache, hot dogs and long hauls, lunches, and memorials, all the diverse experiences of being alive and being followers of the one who taught us to pray. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.